By the Lord's help, we will commence the afternoon service by reading hymn 1036. The 1036 hymn. Seek ye my face, the Saviour cries. My soul, where canst thou find supplies? But in the Lamb for sinners slain, who has not shed his blood in vain. Does bitter anguish fill thy heart, and make thee from the promise start? Does Satan tempt thee to give up? No more in Jesus' name to hope. Art thou afflicted, sore distressed, embarrassed by a guilt oppressed, anxious to know thy sins forgiven, and find an open way to heaven? Thou shalt obtain the blessing yet. Jesus will not thy cries forget. Wait on the Lord, take courage still. His promise surely he'll fulfill. We will read from God's holy word two short portions. First, from Psalm 34, the 34th Psalm. Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, the Lord heareth, delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. The second reading is from John's Gospel, part of chapter 1. The Gospel according to John, chapter 1, and we'll read the first 18 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. May the Lord bless to us his holy word and grant to us a spirit of real prayer. Let us pray. most gracious and merciful Lord God. Oh, we do seek now for a breath of real prayer. We seek for grace, Lord, to humble ourselves, to bow before Thee. Thou who art that holy, heart-searching God, who seest us exactly as we are. Oh, we pray as we gather to worship Thee this afternoon, that Thou wilt grant to us the gracious help and aid of Thy Holy Spirit. And oh, do help us to ask in faith, nothing wavering. And oh Lord, we do pray for Thy sweet presence to be known and to be felt in each of our homes as we seek to worship Thee. And oh, may our hearts be drawn away from the things of time and of this world. Oh Lord, so often we are entangled with them, but oh, that we may be drawn to Thy dear feet and humbled in the dust and ever seek to be nothing before Thee, that a precious Jesus may be the one thing that's needful and the altogether lovely. Oh, we pray, dear Lord, Thou wilt speak to our souls. Thou hast said, my sheep, hear my voice. And oh, that we may have that ear to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, and that we may hear, as Elijah did, Thy still, small voice. Oh, that Thou wouldst bless Thy holy word that we have read together, and that we may know the realities that Thou are couched in Thy word, and that Thy word may be made life and power to us, and that our souls may be fed. For Thou hast said, man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And oh, that we may have the blessed application of Thy word in our souls, and it may be a life and power to us, food to the hungry and drink to the thirsty. And O Lord, we come with all our sin and guilt and vileness and wretchedness. And oh, we would come pleading for that real heart confession, that God-given repentance, that true godly sorrow over our many, many sins. Oh, may we never be left just to lip confession, Lord. As one of old said, is easier still, but oh, to feel, cuts deep beyond expression. Thou knowest, Lord, how we need Thee to grant to us that true penitent heart. We may have the religion of the dear publican and cry as he did, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And knowest those, Lord, that truly feel the need of Thy mercy in their hearts. And oh, that Thou wouldst sweetly assure, Thou didst suffer, bleed and die for us at Calvary. Thou hast put away all our sin. One said, if sin be pardoned, I'm secure. And oh, that we may know that sweet pardon of our sin and the peace that flows from it. That sweet peace of Calvary. As one said, this glorious man, thy peace shall be. And oh, it's those, Lord, that need thee at this time. We would commit to thee, thy dear people, and their varied needs and circumstances. And oh, it's, Lord, what each one needs. And oh, we would be ever seeking to bring each one to thee and to cast them upon thee, that thou would undertake for each of thy dear children, for thou hast promised to manage all by the way and to the end, to be with those in trouble, to appear for them, dear Lord, and grant deliverance, we pray. Those in a burdened and heavy laden, do help them, Lord, to cast all their burdens upon thee. No, Lord, who fulfill that precious word the dear hymn writer was enabled to write, I will all thy burdens bear, I will all thy needs supply. No, Lord, who undertake for each one in all their burdens and trials. Do deliver those that are tempted from the powers of Satan. And knowest how real the foe is, and how powerful he is. Oh, deliver us from his power. And Lord, do cast him out, and set thy people at liberty. May there be many set free, Lord, and loose from all the bondage of sin and of Satan and of unbelief. We pray for those, Lord, that are young, the dear children, the little ones too, Lord. We would gather them each up before thee and plead that thou wilt preserve them and protect them, watch over them, and hear the cries of the dear parents for their offspring. And oh, that thou wilt raise up from among them those that shall fear thy holy name and seek thee and serve thee. Who keep them from the world and all its snares and attractions. May they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Remember the dear young people, we pray thou wilt supply their every need. Do help them, Lord, to plead with thee and wrestle with thee, that thou would appear for them, whether they be at college or at university, or whether it be in things of providence, things in their souls. And we pray that thou would undertake, and may they prove that thou art a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. Look upon those who are afflicted, Lord, many thy children are afflicted, many throughout the land here and throughout the earth, and we pray that thou wilt grant all needed healing and restoring mercies if it's thy will, and oh, that thou wilt sanctify these afflictions, Lord, and make each bed in them. And oh, that there may be those enabled to be still in it all and to know that thou art God, that all things are in thy hand and all events are at thy command. And oh, Lord, we pray for our dear aged friends that thou would especially remember them those in Bethesda and those in other homes and those in their own home. Do visit them with thy salvation and sweetly assure them that it is well with them while life endures and well when called to die. And, O Lord, do prepare us each for that great day. We are hearing daily, Lord, of so many being removed from this earth. Oh, may it please thee to fit and prepare us each to stand before thy face. Oh, do assure us that it is well with us and that the eternal God is our refuge and that underneath are the everlasting arms. Oh, may we prove, Lord, when the hour of death comes, as Christian and Hopeful did, that the bottom is good. Underneath are thy blessed arms. And oh, we pray for Zion Norden. We would especially pray for our own beloved flock. Now preserve them and keep them from the dangers of this terrible coronavirus, and oh, especially those that work in the hospital, Lord, and encountering it continually. We pray for thy preserving, protecting care to be with them each, and that thou wilt fulfil thy precious promise, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. And O Lord, do help all the doctors and nurses and all that care for the afflicted and those that try and supply their every need in many ways. Those, Lord, that are continually in, as man would look at it, in danger's way. We pray thou wilt appear. But oh, do call by grace through it all, Lord. Many, we pray, cause many yet to seek thee, to look to heaven. For thou alone art upon the throne. And thou hast sent this terrible affliction upon the land and upon the earth. Lord, it's all because of our sin, the sins of men. Lord, we're all poor, fallen sinners. Oh, do bring many to truly feel it and to flee to thee for refuge. And may there yet be good brought forth from all this affliction, Lord, and thy name glorified. We pray that thou wilt remember all thy servants and do help them, Lord, in all their labours. And we pray that there may be that real fruit to follow, the preaching of the word. And oh, do remember, Lord, us as a flock, and remember Zion too. And may there yet be a gracious revival, a blessed building up. We would pray for our Prime Minister. We thank thee for the measure of healing given to him, and we pray that it all may be sanctified to him and to those in government, that they may look to thee for that wisdom, Lord, that only thou canst give, that guidance in all what to do in this terrible circumstances we find ourselves in as a land. And oh, do appear for thy people, and appear, Lord, in the financial difficulties that, as man looks at it, will arise from it all. And we pray that many may be brought to seek thy face, to serve thee, and that these things may be a solemn voice to many. But oh, we would praise thee for all the mercies thou hast favoured us with, and the beautiful sunshine thou hast favoured the earth, us in this land particularly, and in other places. And we would praise and bless thy holy name. May we know the sweet shining of the Sun of Righteousness, with healing in his wings. Do remember our Queen, Lord, as she comes to another birthday, and we thank thee for sparing her these many years. And we do pray, Lord, thou wilt bless her with those eternal blessings in Christ Jesus. And may the royal household be a right example in this land, and those in high places, Lord, and be brought to speak well of thee and all that thou hast done, and command many to flee to thee for refuge. Do be with us now, dear Lord. Remember all we should and would pray for, any we may leave out. Do come and visit them. And Lord, do anoint us to speak a few things in thy holy name. May we be thy messenger in thy message. Christ be first and Christ be last, and Christ be all in all. Blot out all our many sins and anything we've uttered amiss. Make up where we so fail, so we would fall into thy kind arms. Sink or swim, we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. We will sing together hymn 726. The tune is 886. Christ, whose glory fills the skies, Christ the true, the only light, Sun of Righteousness, arise, triumph o'er the shades of night. Day spring from on high be near, Day star in my heart appear. Hymn 726, tune 886. by the Lord's blessed help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Psalm 34 and verses 4 and 5. Psalm 34 and verses 4 and 5. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Psalm 34 and verses 4 and 5. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This is a very beautiful psalm of dear David's. It's a psalm where he could speak of his own experience. And you know, every true sent servant of God, really, as he labours, will speak of what he's tasted, handled and felt, of the Lord's wonderful dealings with him. And if we think of dear David throughout the Psalms, it was things he'd tasted, handled and felt, had to walk through what the Lord had appointed for him in his pathway and throughout his life. And this psalm, you will notice the heading of it, a psalm of David, when he changed his behaviour before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. And we think of dear David there, and I will just read to you what it says in the first book of Samuel, chapter 21, concerning him. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And David laid up these words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behaviour before them, and feigned himself mad in their hand, and scrabbled on the door and of the gate, and let his spittle fall down into his beard. Then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, ye see, the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of madmen, that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? shall this fellow come into my house? And then we read, and David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And so we find dear David in the midst of trouble. And in this 34th Psalm, he was able to write of the wonderful deliverance. Now, you will observe that he had really troubles on several fronts, really. Firstly, he had the great trouble of Saul seeking to destroy him. And then, as he goes to Gath of Achish, fearing Achish would destroy him there. And how wonderfully the Lord was to deliver him. But of course there were the troubles of his heart too. The hymn writer said, did ever trouble yet befall, and he refused to hear thy call. And therefore he could write this fourth verse, and well, all the psalm, but this fourth verse particularly seemed to so rest upon me. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Now there may be those of you today that have troubles. David, you see, was hated because of what the Lord had made him and done for him by Saul. And then too in Gath he feared for his life. And there's no doubt the dear man trembled and was full of fear, as it says in our text. But he was enabled to seek the Lord in it all. I sought the Lord, he says. And you know, he'd got to be brought, and so have we, if we've got a real religion, right down to the place where the only place we can go is to the Lord. You see, with David, it was no use him going to his friends. They couldn't deliver him. It was no use him going to any man. You see, he thought he'd be safe in Gath, but solemnly he had to prove there was no safety there. And all he could do was to go to the God of heaven. I sought the Lord, he says. And can you look back in your life and me in mine, how many times in the depths of trouble we've had to seek the Lord in it? The only place we could go is to the God of heaven. You see, it is a blessed place to go, because the Lord understands, and he understood David in all what he was in. He wasn't there by chance, and the Lord was to bring him right down, so the only place he could fall was into the Lord's hand. I sought the Lord. And it may be there are those of you today who got these troubles, whether they're troubles of your soul or of your pathway or of your providential affairs or things that concern you in the family. But what are we doing with them? Are we trying to manage them ourselves? You see, we've got an old nature that thinks it can do this and do that and tries to be independent of the Lord. But David had to come humbly to the Lord's feet, and he sought the Lord in the matter. The hymn writer said, didn't he, could the creatures help or ease us? Seldom should we think of prayer. Few, if any, come to Jesus till reduced to self-despair. And you know, it's a painful place to come to, isn't it? I sought the Lord. Could you truly say this afternoon, that's exactly what you've been doing this last week, or even maybe this day, I sought the Lord. Why did he seek the Lord? Well, because only the Lord could deliver him from Saul. Only the Lord could deliver him from Achish. And only the Lord could remove all those sins in his heart and the troubles there were within him. And what a wonderful place it is, the throne of God's grace. You know, really, when we come to him aright, we can come and we can spread all our case before him, can't we? Leave it all in his hands. You think of dear Father Israel, Jacob, when he was faced with Esau's 400 men against him. All he could do was cry to the God of heaven. Seek the Lord's face. And what did the Lord do? He heard him and delivered him from Esau and all that great army. And here we have it with David. I sought the Lord and he heard me. You know, it's a wonderful thing when we're favoured to have the Lord's ear. We can tell him everything. It's like one dear old soul said to me years ago. She said, you know what I love about coming to the Lord with all my troubles and problems and difficulties is that I'm coming to one that understands all that I need and understands all the trouble that I'm in, and I can bring it all to him, knowing that he understands it all. I sought the Lord and he heard me. You see, this was the personal experience of dear David. And oh, that we may have that religion like the publican that I named in prayer. How wonderfully he was enabled, wasn't he, to seek the Lord. I sought the Lord. He sought for mercy, didn't he? Are there those things this afternoon that you're seeking for? Seeking for the Lord to grant you a broken heart, a contrite spirit. Seeking the Lord that he would grant you humble, God-given repentance. Seeking the Lord that he would blot out all your many sins, like David in Psalm 51. How he pleads for the Lord to remove all the sin that troubled him. He says, doesn't he, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. And then, oh, how many times we've sought the Lord in, as I have indicated, like with David, in times of trouble. We think of the dear hymn writer in that 11th hymn. That's a very sacred hymn to my soul. And oh, we think of how the dear hymn writer sought for mercy, but too in the ninth hymn, when trouble like a gloomy cloud has gathered thick and thundered loud, he near my soul has always stood, his loving kindness, oh how good. You see, it wasn't by chance that David was coming to this situation. You know, it's not by chance that we're in the situation we are today, not able to gather in the house of God. May it be a voice to us each. And may we seek his face more and more earnestly. You see, David was earnest in his prayer. It wasn't a prayer, if I speak this rightly and reverently, not off the cuff. It was a prayer that came right out of his heart. I sought the Lord. There was earnest prayer, fervent prayer, a longing for the Lord to appear. He couldn't do anything unless the Lord did. And may we be much in prayer. You see, going back to Psalm 107, we've often mentioned it over the years, how many times they sought the Lord, and he heard them and delivered them out of all their fears and out of all their troubles. And then they could praise and bless his holy name. So he said, I sought the Lord. And the publican, you see, he sought the Lord. And look how the Lord heard him and gave him mercy. The dear dying thief upon the cross, he sought the Lord. In that closing moments of his life, Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me. And then may we seek the Lord for our loved ones. You know, if the Lord is favouring us in our own soul, we will seek it for our loved ones, our children, our grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Long for them to have the same blessings, the same tokens from the Lord. And we think of dear Peter when he was in the prison. There may be those that you think of your loved ones today. They seem bound, they seem shut up, they cannot see their way. And what was the Church of God doing? They weren't sitting at their home and saying, well, the Lord's permitted it, we can't do anything about it. That is the attitude of many. But you see, what did they do? They went on their knees before the God of heaven. All they did, they wrestled with the Lord. The Lord would set him free from that prison. And you look how the Lord heard them. You know, real prayer that's indicted by the Lord will surely hear. David's prayer was real, God-given prayer. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. He heard me. And we think of how wonderfully the Lord, in his great mercy, was to deliver David and deliver Peter from the prison. You know, they couldn't believe it. Rhoda couldn't for joy, could she? She heard Peter's voice, how the Lord had heard their prayer. And may hear the prayer for our own souls and all the pathway we're walking in at this time, and hear the prayer for our loved ones and for our families, and hear prayer in the matters of providence. I sought the Lord. We know the hymn's not in our book, but the hymn writer said, take everything to God in prayer. And you know, really, if you look through the holy word of God, how many precious souls from Genesis to Revelations sought the Lord, and he heard them. He heard them. And David said here, I sought the Lord. It was personal, crying unto God, and he heard me. He heard me. He didn't turn a deaf ear to your cry, poor soul. You may think sometimes as time goes on and the Lord doesn't seem to answer and you feel like Jeremiah, I cry and shout and all my prayer he seemeth to shut out. But those prayers that are real, in the Lord's time, he will hear and he will answer. But we need much patience sometimes. Oh, to be patiently waiting for the Lord to answer the prayers of our hearts. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, poor unworthy me, and gave me sweet deliverance, he says here, and delivered me from all my fears. He feared Saul, he feared Achish, he feared his own sins and wickedness and the many things that troubled him. He had many fears, and you may have them this afternoon, full of fear. But oh, may the Lord deliver us from all our fears, and delivered me from all my fears. And he could well then, as he says in the previous verse, I magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. He got something to praise the Lord for, hadn't he? Deliverance. And oh, may the Lord deliver us from all our sin and all our unbelief and all the carnality there is in us and all the worldliness that creeps in, and deliver us from all the troubles of the journey. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. But then he goes further. He says this, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. They looked unto him. Where are you looking? Where am I looking this afternoon? Is it unto the Lord? They looked. You know, really, from the holy word of God, there's so many sweet records of those that looked. We think of the children of Israel when they were serpent bitten in Egypt. The Lord, what did he do? He commanded Moses to make a serpent of brass and to lift it up on a pole. And all those that looked would be saved. They looked unto him. And I believe as David speaks of his deliverance here, he could look back to those precious souls that had gone before, and he could say concerning them, they looked unto him. And what encouragement that is to the seeking soul today. They looked. You look in your heart and in your family. We look back at our dear godly grandparents and how they looked unto the Lord. And we long to be among those that do look. And as the children of Israel looked to that brazen serpent, they were delivered. And they looked unto him. I think, of what the hymn writer said. It's a precious word to me, that is. I've often quoted it. Dying sinner, look and live. You know, all those that looked were delivered in Egypt, and all those that didn't look perished because of the serpents that had bitten them. And oh, may we, in this dark place we're in as a nation, and may our leaders and rulers and the established Church of England, Archbishop Downwards, be among those that are looking heavenward for the Lord to deliver. And they looked, could it be said, concerning you and concerning me, and they looked unto the Lord. We think of the apostles' words to the Hebrews. And what was it? Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. He had just given that wonderful account in Hebrews 11 of all those that had gone before, that had all died in faith, and how they had to look. And like Abraham, when he was to offer up Isaac, he had to look and see that ram caught in the thicket. And what a blessed view he had of the dear Lord Jesus. You know, for us to look naturally, we need eyes. A person that has no eyes cannot look because they cannot see anything. But think about it spiritually. The Lord gives the eye of faith. And the eye of faith will ever look unto the dear Lord Jesus. They looked unto him. And if you go through Hebrews 11, how each of those precious characters that died by faith were given that faith, the eye of faith, to look to the Lord and to a precious Jesus. And we think of that beautiful word in Isaiah, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. And you know, when we come to the ends of the earth in our soul's experience, in the pathway, in trials, in afflictions and troubles, oh, to be able to look heavenward. What was the effect of this looking? And they looked unto him and were lightened. Now, there were two ways, really, that seemed to rest upon me. They looked unto him and were lightened. Firstly, they looked unto him and he lighted upon their pathway. We think of that beautiful hymn we sing, oh, may we know more of the reality of it. Oh, for a closer walk with God, the calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads us to the Lamb. And in the dark trial we're in at this time, and when we're in darkness in our souls, oh, that we may have some light in it all. The Lord can grant it. When he enlightens a sinner, when he begins the work of grace within them, he enlightens them to their standing as poor, wretched sinners. They didn't realize the sin there was within them until he enlightened them. And then faith will be enlightened to look wholly to the dear Lord Jesus for everything the sinner needs, for mercy, for pardon, for peace. And how one feels, we sung in that beautiful hymn just now, didn't we? where the dear hymn writer speaks, and that's why we read in John's Gospel about the Lord Jesus being the light of his people. Christ whose glory fills the skies, Christ the true, the only light. Son of righteousness, arise, triumph o'er the shades of night. Day spring from on high be near, day star in my heart appear. And oh, may that be our fervent petition. They looked and were lightened. The Lord gave them light upon their souls and upon the pathway, and light to look to the dear Redeemer as their only place of refuge. But there's another aspect to it that seemed to rest upon me, and that is this, and were lightened. The burdens that they carried were not only taken from them, but the Lord so came and upheld them that the burden was lightened, so they didn't have to carry such a great weight. And it's a wonderful thing when the Lord lightens the burden that we carry. As we quoted in prayer, if I remember rightly, that's sweet words of the dear hymn writer when he spoke, I will all thy burdens bear, I will all thy needs supply. You know, it's a beautiful word. May the Holy Spirit, those of you that feel weighed down by burdens, weighed down by sin, weighed down by trouble, weighed down by affliction, weighed down by many cares of this earth, and were lightened. And when the Lord lightens the burden, he bears the burden for his dear people. What does this lighten really mean then? Well, out of it firstly is light, and the light of joy. Joy in the soul. And secondly, peace within. And thirdly, comfort. And when the Lord lightens your poor heart, oh, the joy there will be, oh, the peace there will be, oh, the comfort there will be. But then he says, and their faces were not ashamed. Why were they not ashamed? Well, because the Lord had heard and answered their prayer, and he'd given them deliverance. He'd given them salvation. He'd given them peace. He'd given them divine pleasure. And so their faces were not ashamed. They could truly praise the Lord and bless his holy name for what he'd done. And dear David so speaks of it, doesn't he? He said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. And then he goes on to say, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his trouble. And oh, what a blessed thing it is when, poor as we are, we can go to the Lord and he heard him. David knew it by experience. May we each know it in our own soul, and saved him out of all his trouble. The day will come, poor soul, when the Lord will free you from this valley of sin and death and the valley of tears, and you'll be free from it all, saved out of all his troubles. I think of a dear godly man some years ago. He had ever so many troubles in his life and in his pathway. He had a most gracious man. And the Lord showed him one day he would deliver him out of them all. Free him from them all. And then he could join in that everlasting song and crown the Lord, Lord of all. Well, I've scratched around the surface. May the Holy Spirit sweetly fulfill these words of our text in each of our hearts. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. And oh, that we may know the sweet experience and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Amen. We will conclude by reading hymn 1057. Light of those whose dreary dwelling border on the shades of death, come and thy bright beams revealing, dissipate the clouds beneath. The new heavens and earth's creator in our deepest darkness rise, scattering all the night of nature, pouring day upon our eyes. Still we wait for thy appearing, life and joy thy beams impart, chasing all their fears and cheering every poor benighted heart. Come and manifest the favour thou hast for thy ransomed race. Come, thou dear exalted Saviour, come and bring thy gospel grace. Save us in thy great compassion, O thou mild pacific prince. Give the knowledge of salvation, give the pardon of our sins. By thy all-sufficient merit, every burden soul release. By the shining of thy Spirit, guide us into perfect peace. Dear Lord, do forgive anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Do bless thy own word. Come over the poverty of our poor, feeble attempt. May thy name be glorified. May the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.